This audio selection was downloaded from RustyMikeRadio.com, Jerusalem.
Here we go.
Let's go.
You're listening to the Dina Pinner Show on Rusty Mike Radio.
Rachel Azaria, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Sitting on a bus, I understand.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I can't believe that somebody who's in public office actually uses public transport. I'm inspired by you already.
That's my public office is a volunteer. So,
this is a voluntary post?
Yeah.
But all you ever seem to do is work for the council.
It's the councilwoman is volunteer, and it demands us, you know, it has its it means that I have to take public transportation everywhere, definitely.
Wow, and yet I'm not sure how many of your fellows do. Gosh, it's becoming clearer now why I'm sure it never ever happens, but I suppose that if a position is voluntary and you have to devote so much time to it, somebody might possibly want to find a way to get an income. And I'm sure it never ever happens on the Jerusalem Council or any councils that the voluntary nature means that somebody is quite happy to receive rewards from somewhere that maybe they shouldn't receive them. But I'm sure it never ever happens. Rachel, what's happened to you? What's happened to you on this council?
So a year ago, I've been very active regarding the segregation on bus lines and segregation between men and women in streets in Jerusalem and all of that matter, and the disappearing of women from signs and streets in Jerusalem. And a year ago, I started getting phone calls from ultra-Orthodox, from Haredim, that live in Masharim area, that there was supposed to be very large-scale segregation also on the streets, that there'll be streets for men and streets for women. And also what they wanted, the very, very radical ultra-Orthodox within Masharim, if you understand, Masharim is a neighborhood with different segments of the ultra-Orthodox, and there's some very radical, there's a very radical group that is always pushing towards segregation. And they wanted that during Sukkot, there won't be any public transportation in the entire area. Just so, and you know, it won't happen that a woman would walk on those streets. That they wanted
that we should, Shaloni Dami said that we shouldn't know from such things.
I agree. So basically, they got in touch with me and they asked if I can help. And very often I help. I mean, I have Haredim that talk to me behind scenes, and then I help them. And we checked, and we started having discussions with the police. And they said that the whole idea of the buses won't happen, and the segregation they couldn't say if it will happen or won't happen, and we didn't know. So the first day of Sukkot, we went to see, and we actually saw very, very dramatic segregation. We talked to people. People were very, ultra-Orthodox were very worried about it. And we tried to see if we can in any way change the situation. We realized the only real way to do it is to go to the Supreme Court. So we went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said that it's illegal. You're not allowed to do that. And also, before we went to the Supreme Court, one went to take pictures of what's going on. So there was a lot of violence going on. It was very, really terrible.
What do you mean violence? What violence?
Violence means that when you come there, so they say, get out of our streets. So we're talking about the very, very radical groups. We're not talking about all the ultra-Orthodox. On the contrary,
get out of our. But who was the violence again? Against?
Against women that try walking down the street there.
I didn't know that. It's intense.
That's part of the issue, that we're not talking about the entire ultra-Orthodox community. We're talking about a very small segment of the community that is very violent. It is terrorizing the people that live in Masharim, terrorizing women that dare to do anything, you know, very basic in our life, but they believe that they are forbidden to do it. And so that's what was going on. We went to the Supreme Court. We won. In the Supreme Court, it was very clear that it's illegal, that it's against the law, and that the police can't just say, you know, let them take responsibility for what's happening in their neighborhood, but that the police has to take responsibility for what's happening in every neighborhood in Jerusalem, including Masharim. And I think it's very important to know that for the past 2 years, there were no bus lines the public transportation didn't go through the Mea Shearim street, and that if there were problems, most of the time the police wouldn't come help. And when there were fights between two groups in Mea Shearim, and one group set on fire a building of the other group, no one was there to help. And our bagat discussed that. We talked about two issues. One, the segregation on the street, how illegal it is, and it's, you know, against women's rights. And the other was about how the police has to take responsibility for Mea Shearim. I should tell you that last year when we placed the bagat, there were a lot of very high-ranked ultra-Orthodox that really asked us to do it, because they felt that they can't go against these very, very extreme groups, and they need someone to do it. So we went, and we won, and it was, you know, it was over or whatever. And then this year, suddenly we started hearing rumors that, again, is going to happen. The same thing is going to happen. And I didn't believe it. I didn't think it would happen. I was sure it wouldn't happen. We went to see Motzei Chag Rishon, the first holiday, and we saw that there actually there's separation, there's segregation on the street. Segregation means that there is a fence in 2 meter high. I don't know how much it is in feet, but it's like a height of
2 meters
a tall
high.
Person.
Yeah, that's taller than most Jews.
It's not just you know, regular separation between, you know, two sides, like, you know, when you go to a concert and there are two areas or something like that. And the fence is covered also with material. So it's really like a mechitza and shul, you know, like a big mechitza and shul.
Quite right, too. I don't want to be seeing you in the street.
In the street, yeah. So we went, so...
Now, wait a second. I have to interrupt you for a second, because, look, what people say to me, what people always say to me is, back off. What do you want in their neighbourhoods? I was complaining that before Shabbat, it's like really loud music now in my sister's neighbourhood. So I go there to see them just before Shabbat, because I don't want to spend Shabbat with them. We lead completely different lives. So I go just before Shabbat when everybody's, you know, chilled out, everything's ready already, and there's like blaring, annoying music, and I always complain, and everyone goes, what do you want? Back off. It's not your neighborhood. You don't live there. Back off. Like, let them do what they want. And I feel like I want to say that to you, like, it's none of your business. Like, if they're doing stuff in their neighborhood, you don't live anywhere near there. You've nothing to do with it. Like, what's it got to do with you? What goes on in Mea Shearim?
So, first of all, I'm a Jerusalem City Council member, and then therefore everything that happens in Jerusalem is, I think, has to do, and I don't think I have to take care only of the group that actually voted for me. And to be honest, I don't even know who voted and who didn't vote for me. So that's one thing. The second thing is that I'm not willing to accept that they're a small group and they can run their life the way they want to run their life, because the police has been saying it for a long time, and therefore we see the violence that's been going on, and we see that one very strong and violent group has taken over the neighborhood. I believe that the State of Israel and the Jerusalem Municipality and the police and the Supreme Court, we have responsibility for every person in Israel and in Jerusalem, for every person in Jerusalem. And there isn't anyone that can say, you know, we don't need help, because they do need the help. The women in that neighborhood need the help. The children in that neighborhood need the help. And I think also that part of this, that, you know, it's our neighborhood, it's their neighborhood. I don't want that. I believe that we're creating a new vision for Jerusalem, for the Israeli society, a vision that says we're all responsible for what's going on here. We're part of the same community. We're part of the same story, we're part of the same narrative, and even though we think differently of different issues, we're still responsible one for each other. I think it's called solidarity, and I think that's one of the most important things that we're missing today in Israel, because of the segregation, not necessarily between men and women, but the segregation between the different groups in the Israeli society. And part of this is saying, you, the Haredim, the Haredi women, we are responsible for you, just like we're responsible for every other woman. And I got so many complaints about these issues, and I know how difficult it is for the people that live there to deal with this segregation. And, you know, if you go into different ultra-Orthodox websites, you know, they have their internal discussions. So many times you can see how they say, you know what, this Supreme Court, this discussion wasn't supposed to be submitted by a non-ultra-Orthodox. It was supposed to be submitted by our people, but none of us can do it. And I see myself, and I think we all have to see ourselves responsible for what happens in Jerusalem and in Israel.
So the other question is, I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, what can I say to that answer? I mean, it makes me think about the Catamonium kind of 20, 30 years ago, how the police wouldn't get involved in anything that was going on there. Now the Catamonium are like becoming a really nice neighbourhood, and that loads of people live there and are very happy there and very content. And I feel like, and everybody who lives in the Catamonium is now very happy that all of this involvement happened. And I have a suspicion that that's also going to happen in Mare Sharim, that actually people will be very happy that the council and the police get involved.
You know, also something that's happened because of the two, this year we again submitted the bagats against what was happening in Mare Sharim.
What's a bagat? Tell my listeners what a bagat is.
Bagat, sorry, is a discussion at the Supreme Court. To go to the Supreme Court. And something that happened because of these two discussions with the Supreme Court is that finally public transportation is going again through Mare Sharim. And that is because that the police realize that they are responsible for what's happening in that neighborhood, and they can't just say it's not their responsibility. In fact, the head of the commander of the police, of the Jerusalem police, thanked me for this discussion in the Supreme Court, because he said that this is what gives him more strength to do the job that he is responsible to do, when it's clear to everyone that he has to do it, and it's not, you know, they can't just tell him, let us run things the way we believe it, and, you know, and he realized that it's part of it. But what happened after I submitted the second vote is that the mayor decided that last year when we submitted the bagatza, there was a they told us that we have to submit it also against the municipality as a technical matter, not anything serious. And we did it this time. We just, you know, wrote the municipality as one of the list, just as they said, technically. And the mayor, unfortunately,
Well, so that's the question. How can someone on the council bring a complaint to the Supreme Court against her own council? I suppose that's really... That's the question. Like, what happens with that? It makes me a bit nervous. Do you know what I mean? Like, it makes me a bit nervous that you don't like something that's going on in the council, and suddenly you take it to the Supreme Court. Like, it's a bit much, no?
You see, it's interesting because you're not allowed to submit. You're not supposed to. I'm telling you, not allowed. You're not supposed to submit to go to court against the how do you say? It's not that. The way the mayor believes that you're supposed to, that he's supposed to run the city. If, you know, it's one of the main issues, one of the core issues or real issue that the mayor is leading. But when it's just something technical, because it's actually happening in his city, so it's not, I didn't go against the municipality, even though it could be because it's actually happening in the municipality, but it was a very formal technical matter. And therefore, it surprised me, the reaction of the mayor, and therefore it's also clear to everyone that it's not because of this technical issue, but it's because that he's been under pressure by the ultra-Orthodox and the city council, that it's hard for them because that I'm very... I'm committed to the people, that to the values that have brought me to the city council, to the people that believe in these values, that are many of us in Jerusalem, that know that we have to make sure that Jerusalem will stay the capital of Israel, that it will be a city that is exciting and welcoming to every Jew throughout the world, and to make sure that the laws in Israel happen and are, you know, actually there in Jerusalem. And there's some ultra-Orthodox that it's hard for them, this, you know, this campaign and the seriousness of this campaign. And therefore, they started putting pressure. And it's clear that the issue isn't actually the fashion, but it's something else. And it's very misfortunate that the mayor decided to go with the most radical ultra-Orthodox, but even the ultra-Orthodox themselves don't believe that things have to be run the way they run them, just because he had pressure put on him.
I've just got a chat. Rachel is wasted in Jerusalem. She needs to go on a Knesset list and high enough to have a realistic chance of being elected. So there are many people behind you. As I'm sitting here, again and again and again, a petition has come up on my Facebook page of people saying, sign this so that Rachel doesn't get sacked. Have you actually been sacked already? Where are we at the moment? Like, you're speaking to me, you're a member of the council. Where are you at the moment with this?
I will still be member of city council. I just won't be part of the coalition unless Neil Barakat changes his mind. In the meantime, I'm still a member of the coalition. It's supposed to change if he brings it to vote in the close meeting of the Jerusalem City Council, which is on this Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening.
So your sacking has to come to a vote, and everybody else has to agree with it.
Yeah, has to come to vote, and everybody else has to agree with it.
And
that is what's supposed to happen.
How is the council divided? Are most people firm? Are most people Haredi? Are most people secular? How's the council divided? Does it look like Jerusalem itself, which is only 20% Haredi? How does the council look?
No. The Haredi population, they vote, and the percentage of voting is much higher than anyone else's, and therefore there are 12 Haredim, 12 ultra-Orthodox, and 17 non-ultra-Orthodox.
But surely they'll vote...
19 and 12 is 31. 19 and 12, yeah.
So surely they'll vote for you not to get the sack?
We'll have to see. If the mayor insists, so everyone has to vote according to what he says. So it's the ball is in his hands. He can decide what's going to happen. But I think that no matter what's very, very important, and I think that this is something that is happening now, is that we're finally discussing these ideological and the values that are standing behind this issue. Because here is a time where we're all sort of, I believe that at the end of the day, we'll all live in the same buildings and we'll be part of the society. And as I said, that's the vision, that at the end of the day, that's where we have to reach. But here, it's one of the core issues because it's a difference in the way ideologically we perceive the society. And therefore, I think it's very important that we're having these discussions and that we're understanding the core issues that we need to discuss and we need to find the solutions and we need to find a way to live everyone together, because I do believe that that's where we are going at the end of the day.
I feel like a bit of an idiot. I was part of the campaign I know that I'm meant to be all, you know, not involved. But I was part of the campaign I actively, I was on the streets campaigning for Neil Barakat to be elected. I feel a bit stupid.
No, first of all, I think we were amazing. I think us, the Jerusalemites, we were amazing 3 years ago when we changed the way history was very clear till then, you know, that always the non-ultra-Orthodox give up and, we just leave the city, and Jerusalem was very clear where it's going. And we changed the way history was going and we changed the way our life was going. But I just realized that it's not enough. So we have a non-ultra-Orthodox mayor, but there are a few more steps that we have to take, and we'll have to take them. We'll have to make sure that for the next elections, it's not enough just to vote for the mayor, but it's also important that we'll have a large enough non-ultra-Orthodox large party that will even out with the ultra-Orthodox to make sure that we're together, you know, and that we're in the same level of discussion, and it's not that they can say what they want and we're, you know, always threatened. Yes. So what we have to make sure is that it's just like there are eight in their party, we have to make sure we'll be eight in our party to make sure that we can even out, and then we can really have a discussion on how we want the city to be.
Ooh.
So don't feel that it was wrong. I think it was the best thing that we did, and I think that at the end of the day, What's very important that happened 3 years ago is that we remembered again that we can make a difference, that it's possible, that we can change the way history is going just because we realize how important it is. So we did half of the job, and now we have another half to do, or, oh no, we did a third, and we have two-thirds. But I remember all the time that we are a nation of pioneers. You know, we came back here 2,000 years after we left the state of Israel, left the land of Israel, and no one believed that we'll have a state. No one believed we'll be speaking Hebrew. No one believed anything of this would happen, and we did it. And so many times that's how we are. You know, it's like everyone says it won't work, but we do it and we make it. And I know that now it's a challenge that we need to face, but we can do it and we prove that we can do it. So, you know, we'll keep working and we'll be there. So I'm very optimistic. I think that even this clash and this complication is reminding us all how important it is that all of us will be involved again and again and take responsibility and be part of what's happening in Jerusalem. Excuse me. Be part of what's happening in Jerusalem to make sure that Jerusalem is the welcoming and exciting and beautiful city that it's supposed to be and that it can be and that it is.
Oh, Bim Herabi Aminu. Rachel Azaria, I have to ask you a personal question. Are you running for mayor in 2 years' time?
People ask me. I don't know. People ask me if I am. I don't think that. I always go step by step. I think that what's most important now is to have a very, very large non-ultra-Orthodox or I don't even have to call it non-ultra-Orthodox, pluralistic. A large pluralistic list in Jerusalem City Council. And you know what? I can even say now that I said the pluralistic and not non-ultra-Orthodox. It's very interesting because the community council in Ramot, they're the ultra-Orthodox and the non-ultra-Orthodox. And many of the ultra-Orthodox go and take the classes and everything and are part of the non-ultra-Orthodox community council. And they're asked why. So they said, we prefer to be in a pluralistic area and the pluralistic atmosphere. And I do think that that will be the next stage, that we'll all together want to live in a pluralistic atmosphere. And I think that that's the next stage, to create a large list, a large party in the community council of the pluralistic people that want to live in Jerusalem, of all groups.
Bim Herabi Aminu. Rachel Azaria, what can I say? I'm, as ever, totally inspired by you. I can't believe that you're doing this on a voluntary basis. And we are behind you. We Jerusalemites are behind, well, I mean, I am. And if you run for mayor, you've got my vote. What can I say? You're very tactful there, and avoiding the question. If you run, you have my vote and I will work 80 times harder than I did to get near voted. But thank you so much, and thank you for telling us about, for really reminding us that yes, it is good the direction we're going, and we are going in an okay direction, and we can only be hopeful that things get better from here. And calm down and be good neighbours. If I've misspoken about Haredim, let me know. Press that chat button and tell me right now. It's 26 minutes to 2 here on Rusty Mike Radio. You're with Dina Pinner, speaking out, broadcasting out the offices in the AACI, and I've just been speaking to Rachel Azaria.